Well, thank you very much today, Mr. Henderson, and good afternoon to you all. It's the fact that I haven't had a meal yet, I still think it's morning. In introducing the offering today, I would like to draw a comparison between the times that we're actually in at the moment and the times of some 70 years ago. Now, there's not too many of us who will remember those days of 70 years ago, because I think most of us are 70 years old or younger. There's very few of us who are over that here. And in this particular offering message, I'm going to be borrowing heavily from the words of Mr. Bowles, Mr. Henderson, and the late King George VI. It's easier to remember what's to be said. Now, the situation in Great Britain in December of 1939 was far from clear. Britain and France had declared war on Nazi Germany on September the 3rd of that year. And the war had not yet developed beyond the state of what was called the phony war. The full horrors of what was to come had not yet become apparent to either the British or the French peoples. Today, we appear to be in a somewhat similar situation, in that the financial worlds of Britain and the United States have been shaken to their very foundations by irresponsible greediness of certain high-level politicians and bankers. The repercussions of these effects are being felt around the globe. The decade-old European common currency, if it can still be called such, is undergoing enormous stresses at this time. National securities issued by various governments in the Eurozone are carrying different interest rates, and many traders are wondering just how that can be so. After all, if there is a single currency, you would expect government securities issued within the Eurozone to all carry the same interest rate. And yet, the collapse of the US dollar rescue package in Congress, when that was refused, the day after that, euro securities were trading at interest rates varying by up to 92 basis points. That is 8 basis points short of one whole percentage point. Now, when you consider what government securities are issued, the denominations in which they are issued, that almost 1% amounts to a huge amount each year in interest payments. On this side of the Atlantic, the dollar has been trusted to its absolute limits, and with it, so is the whole financial sector of the global economy. In Britain and the United States, national authorities have some sort of control over the central bank. In the European Union, there is no centralized authority overseeing the European Central Bank. The ECB, or the European Central Bank, is presently beyond the control of either ministers of the Eurozone national governments or the bureaucrats of the EU Commission. This is the first real test of the single European currency, and along with the dollar and sterling, it could well become one of the first major casualties of this particular financial crisis in which we find ourselves. We are in uncharted territory, just as Britain and France were during those early stages of the Second World War in 1939. And it was in that particular light that King George VI made his annual broadcast to the nation, or to the Commonwealth actually, or to the Empire as it was then, on December the 25th of 1939. And he read the following passage, and this is a poem by Minnie Louise Harkins, and it's entitled At the Gate of the Year. I have to read this because I just can't remember it all. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. He led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east. So heart, be still, What need our human life to know if God hath comprehension? In all the dizzy strife of things, both high and low, God hideth his intention. In many ways, we are standing here at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the year according to the Hebrew calendar, the Day of Atonement. We are experiencing occurrences that this generation has never encountered before. Terms such as recession and depression are being used by world leaders, government ministers, and senior executives of multinational banking corporations as if these were the words and things that we should be expecting of our benefactors. Like the rest of mankind, we as individuals are standing alone, except that we have the hand of God to guide us and to hold us. As Mr. Henderson mentioned in his sermon some time ago, he was quoting from the book of Joshua, "Now is the time to be strong and of good courage." To the men and women in the busy world of high finance and political life, the idea is that God has hidden his intentions. And as Mr. Armstrong mentioned in a Bible study that was played just a few weeks ago, education has written God out of existence, at least so far as the highly educated of this world are concerned. Avarice, usury, and precaution are the God to whom we must look. At least that is according to the monetary wizard known as John Maynard Keynes. Hence we now see so much of the Anglo-Saxon Celtic and American culture in what could be seen as their death throes. Man has been deceived by the master deceiver, Satan the devil. But this day pictures the time when this being, that being, will no longer be around to practice his art. Satan will have been removed from power and restrained from any influence over the affairs of the earth. Mankind will come to enjoy a currency system in which the pound or the dollar, whatever it may be, in your pocket, will no longer be subject to the annual decrease in its value. Bankers will no longer be allowed to create wealth or credit for their own benefit, enslaving people by the stroke of the pen. And neither will politicians be there to either regulate the banking industries or to coerce bankers into making imprudent loans in the subprime markets. Both groups will have been consigned to history. Foul is fair and fair is foul, because foul is useful and fair is not. So said John Maynard Keynes. And he was one of the chief negotiators at the Bretton Woods Conference, which occurred either just before the end of the Second World War or just after that time. And it is upon that that the monetary system that we, quote, enjoy today, unquote, is based. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, we will see just exactly how God views this particular situation. It may not come as a surprise to Lord Keynes as he is now, but it may well be an eye-opener for many of those who have blindly followed the economic teachings of this world, and which this world has both taught and learnt. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, we read the following. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We have all grown up in this post-war era when morality in just about every sphere of our lives has been submerged by unjust judges, greedy men in finance, business, medicine and pharmaceuticals, a society governed by politicians who rule by engineering fear and panic into the general populace, a culture that lacks both common sense and rational outlook. Not only will all this change, but the architect of this society will be restrained. This is a day when mankind will be at one with God, a day when there will be unity with our Creator and his ways. No longer will we be giving offerings with the paper money whose backing is paper, ink, and a computer printout, or with coins that are made of some base metal, which costs less to manufacture than their face value. But we will be able to give offerings in that time with something that has real value, that will retain its value no matter how long the coin has been in our pockets. With this latter thought in mind, we will be taking up the offering, and the command for this offering is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, and beginning in verse 16. We are regularly pointed to this passage, and many of us can recite these words, but we will read these words from the scriptures. These words have not been changed. The value of the notes or the coins or checks that we may put into the offering may have been less than they were when we first came into contact with God's church. I remember when I first gave an offering, it was just a few pounds, but they're probably worth more than the multiple pounds I give today, because the value has been eroded. In the 1930s, $30 could buy an ounce of gold. In the 1960s, it took $45 to buy an ounce of gold. Today, it would take nearly $1,000 to buy an ounce of gold. That is the way the money has gone over the past 60 or 70 years. But in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, we read about the commandment to give an offering. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Eternal empty or empty-handed, as it should be. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing that the Eternal your God has given you. And whilst the offering has been taken up, there will be offering music, which will be Psalm 27. Lord, you are my light. It will be sung by Mrs. Sylvia Duke and accompanied by Mrs. Estelle Monroe.